This is Doug Miller. Well, Paul is getting out of town again. Getting out of town, running from his persecutors, and he's on his way to Rome. And we will see how this works out. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand, speaking and into this microphone and knowing indeed that this Word is going out to many people. And, of course, we trust the Lord always to be faithful to His promise that the Word will not return to Him void. It is not up to us down here to determine how the Lord uses this, what He does with it, or what anyone's reaction is to this Word as they hear it. We'll leave that up to the Lord, and we will rest knowing surely and certainly that in eternity the Lord God will have blessed this ministry, and that's a wonderful thing to know. We don't have to fuss and fret down here and worry and burden ourselves about what happens. The Lord will deal with it. Okay, bring your Bibles. Come along. We will begin. We're in still in the 23rd chapter of Acts, and we will begin with verse 23 today. And we will see Paul getting out of town. So call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time on this station by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we absolutely require your prayers, your assistance. There are many out there who have an ongoing interest in Dialogue Ministries and who have helped us, and it is because of, not this guy talking to you, but because of many believers that we are able to be on here at all. So I beg you, pray for Dialogue. Tell people about Dialogue. As you've heard me say many times, we are not going to spend money on advertising. You are the only advertisers we have, so we absolutely are dependent on you. We would love to hear from you. Our mailing address: Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Incidentally, you hear me talk about Paul on here quite a bit. Paul is a board member for Dialogue and has been for many years. And we just put on a new board member. A former board member died and, is home with the Lord now. And we replaced him with a new board member, a guy named Mike Davis. And pray for these board members along with Dialogue, because, these guys are very helpful and useful, and we need them, and thank God for them. So anyway, where was I? Ah, yes. If you wish to email me, the email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. And that's for those of you who don't like to write longhand letters, and more, that's how people operate today. It's all electronic, and that's fine. We'll certainly respond to any emails. We also have a webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. That's .org. Then you can pull down the broadcasts. We have, of course, the recent recordings of our recent conference, the May 12 conference. Those are up, and you can pull those down and listen to them. And you can read about Dialogue Ministries. Okay, let's see what else. If you wish to call me, I will get back with you, but you will get a recording. Just leave your name and number. And our the telephone number is area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. Now, one of the things that we do get questions about some from time to time, people will say, you know, would you be willing to come to our area and hold a Bible study or come and speak at our church and so forth? And the answer is sure. Yeah, be happy to. It's just a matter of working out when, why, and where, and how, and just putting the details together. But yeah, I'm available for that sort of thing. Just call or write or get in touch with us via this, the information I've just given you, and we'll be happy to arrange something with you for that. All right. Let's get into the Word of God. See what we have here. We have got Paul once again getting out of town. And I am telling you, here is a guy who understood how to do it. You know, he got run out of more towns than any of us can imagine. We live in a country where we are nominally Christian, and so far at least, we have not been too badly persecuted because of our faith. I can't guarantee you how long it's going to be that way, because the way things are shaping up politically and the way things look right now, every time you turn on the radio or television, you see attacks on Christianity. So once again, I don't know how long we're going to be free to even speak this message out there. I can tell you this, there are individuals out there right now in certain organizations that I won't bother to name who are raging with hatred against all of us who are on here broadcasting and sending out the gospel and the word of God, and they would do anything to be able to put a stop to us. And that's another reason why you'd better pray for Dialogue and Like Ministries, because there are a lot of good preachers and teachers on the air today. And if our enemies had their way, they'll put a stop to it and probably ride us out of town on a rail as well. And here's Paul. And let's pick it up at verse 23. He called unto him two centurions. That is the chief captain. Why the chief captain? Because as we saw last week, Paul's nephew came to the chief captain and told him about a conspiracy. 40 of the Jews who had bound themselves together and bound themselves with an oath to neither eat nor drink until they killed Paul. Well, the chief captain said, we're getting this prisoner out of here. He is a hot potato. He's more than we can handle. And we're going to get him out of here. And so he called two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night. And at this business of the third hour of the night, as certainly within Jewish time, it would have been 9 o'clock in the evening. If the Romans, figured this the same way the Jews did. The third hour of the night. The two centurions, of course, a centurion was a Roman officer, roughly equivalent to our lieutenant. A centurion had command of 100 men, and that's so we get the two centurion, 200 soldiers. But we get more than this. I mean, this man, this chief captain here, is a man that he intends to keep Paul safe, and he means business about it, and he understands that there is a great chance here that Paul's going to be killed. And so we've got horsemen, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen. Paul, they're going to put him on a horse and bring him safe unto Felix, the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner, sent a letter along with him. And Felix is, of course, in Caesarea. He is the governor here. And he is, of course, the governor, he is under Roman authority. And here is the letter that Claudius Lysias sent with Paul, unto the most excellent governor Felix. Claudius Lysias sendeth greeting. This man, Paul, was taken of the Jews and should have been killed by them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. All right, get that straight in your mind now, Felix. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their laws, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. Now, let's just stop a minute. Notice here, there are two different laws going on here. There's a law of the Jews that has to do with the Mosaic law and the things that were very important to the Jews. And then there's a civil law. And these two are not the same thing. And for those of you out here, I know of personally, I know of Christians out there. I guess they are Christians. They, I think, have failed to understand something. And they are out there, and they are absolutely, some of these individuals do not understand that we are under grace. And they are out there laboring to bring this country under the Mosaic law. Now think about that a minute. Are you willing to kill people who do not keep the Sabbath? Are you willing to kill people who are homosexual? Now, if you say to me, well, are you in favor of homosexuality? No, I am not. Absolutely not. But I am certainly not willing to kill people under the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law prescribes the death penalty for this. We are not under the law. And you can read what Paul says about homosexuality in Romans 1 and in 1 Corinthians 6. In both places, he deals with it and makes it very clear that this is evil, morally repugnant, wrong. And he says flatly in 1 Corinthians 6 that a homosexual will not be in heaven. If you didn't like that, you take it up with Paul and the Word of God. But never does Paul say in the New Testament, in this age of grace we are living in, that these individuals ought to be killed, that the death penalty ought to be exacted against. He doesn't say that. But he does say that they are shameful and wrong. But the Mosaic law, it's the death penalty. Are you willing to take women and men who are taken in adultery out and stone them to death and kill them? I'm not. I am not under the law. And I see what Jesus said to those who were under the law, who brought the woman taken in adultery before him. He didn't say, take her out and stone her. He said, let the one of you who is without sin be the first one to cast a stone. Well, they left. Woman, where are thine accusers? Has no one condemned thee? No one, Lord, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, I am telling you something. If you look at the Mosaic law and you want to bring people under that and make it unlawful to eat pork and make it unlawful to violate the Sabbath, which is Saturday, incidentally, not Sunday, and make it unlawful to do all of these things, if that's what you want to do, then you are not going to find me helping you. I am not interested in bringing these religious laws in and making them trump our civil law. I won't do it. You'll have to do it without me. We've got a lot of Muslims out there right now who are trying for all they are worth to bring our country and other countries, Canada, Australia, England, under Sharia law. Well, you will do it without my help. I'll have no part of it. And you look at Sharia law. All of you out there, if you can't see that we don't want this sort of thing going on, I'd suggest you just take a close look at it. You'll be cutting off people's hands for stealing a loaf of bread. You will be killing and murdering people and thinking you're doing God some kind of service. Well, I tell you something, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do it that way. The Lord Jesus Christ did not murder and kill and butcher. That's not what he did. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Now, this Roman officer has got it exactly correct. I brought him in. I talked to him. I talked to the Jews, he says. He didn't do anything that violated the law. This guy, Paul. And now he's talking about the civil law, the law that the Romans set down. And he said, this man is a Roman. And as a Roman, he has rights, and he has the right to be, you know, dealt with as the Romans deal with these things. And these individuals, they wanted to accuse him of questions about their law, but they didn't lay anything to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. Well, according to them, they did. According to them, this Paul was guilty of blasphemy. Same thing the Lord Jesus was guilty of in their way of thinking. He was guilty of blasphemy by claiming to be the Christ, the Son of God. He was making himself equal to God. And they crucified him for it. And here is Paul, a Pharisee, coming along and putting an amen to everything that Jesus said and siding with him and saying to these Jews, you are wrong in not accepting Jesus as Messiah, because that's exactly who he is and what he is, and he died for you. And, by their lights, he was guilty of, this was the death penalty. The Romans said, well, not where we see it from, and we're not going along with it. Well, the Roman is exactly right. And if any of you out there want to say to me, well, the Mosaic law says that you ought to stone someone like that, get the hints. This guy talking to you is not under the Mosaic law. Now, I think I've made that very clear. I am under grace, and I do not stone people nor cut off hands. Not going to do it. And for those of you, and there, once again, I've known some, and there's people out there who want to bring this country under the Mosaic law or under the Sharia law. Sorry, you're not going to find any authority for that in this New Testament. All right? And this Roman centurion says, when it was told me how that, this verse 30 now, when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Now, I told them, says this Roman centurion, if you've got charges to make against this man, you don't kill him. You go and make your charges before the governor, because that's exactly where I'm sending him. Then you go up there in a delegation, and you make your charges against him. And if he has done something worthy of death under Roman law, then you make the case up there. But you're not going to kill him down here under my jurisdiction. I think it's, in a way, Pontius Pilate tried to do this, but apparently Pontius Pilate didn't have the grit in his craw that this Roman officer had, because he eventually, as you know, handed over the Lord Jesus to be murdered, even though he knew that he hadn't done anything. But anyway, we've got in verse 31 here, let's go. And then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle. who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of or from Cilicia, "I will hear thee," said he, "when thine accusers are also come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall, or Herod's praetorium. Now, Paul was from Cilicia. Therefore, and that's, you know, where Tarsus was, what we now call Turkey. And this is an area apparently over which Felix had jurisdiction. And he said, "All right, I've got jurisdiction, and I will hear thee. And in the meantime, we will put you in the judgment hall here and keep you safe." And, of course, that's the praetorium once again. Now, these Roman authorities, it is in many ways it's very instructive and even comforting to see what they thought of the law. Now, the Romans were cruel, hard people in a lot of ways. They didn't mind, and a lot of the rights that we see being extended to Paul here were extended because he was a Roman citizen to non-Romans. They didn't extend these kind of rights. And, you know, when you think about it, Jesus, our Lord, was a non-Roman. He was not a Roman citizen. And he even went so far as to tell Pilate, "My kingdom's not of this world. I stand before you here under the authority of Almighty God. You, sir, you're sitting here with the authority of Rome behind you. Who's greater?" Well, that's not exactly what Jesus said, but this was the idea. And you think about it here. Jesus was not a Roman. Therefore, he could not avail himself of Roman rights, and I'm not sure he would have done so if he could have. Paul was a Roman, and therefore, look at the rights that he had. And remember that we in this country took many of our legal statutes and the way we do things, we took much of this from the Romans. This man, Paul, has a right to stand before his accusers and to have charges brought against him, not just to be killed. This man, Paul, has a right as a Roman to answer for himself and to speak for himself, and that is exactly what he's going to do. In fact, we are about out of time, but let's just very briefly look down into chapter 24, and we'll take it up again here next time. But you look at this after 5 days, Acts 24:1, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. Well, here they are. They're going to make their case now, if they can make it. Do you think they can? Come back next time and we'll see. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.